Good morning, everyone. My name is Thomas, and if we haven't had a chance to meet yet, I am one of the family pastors here at the church. And this is Ellie, she's my wife, and our other family pastor.
Yes, and we have the privilege of being able to work in this church and care for families with young people. It is Family Day weekend, so this week we're starting a three-week family-focused mini-series. Next week, we're going to have a guest speaker. She's really awesome. Her name is Jenny Caldwell, and she's the Director of Family Ministries for our district in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. So we're really looking forward to having her. But for now, you're going to have to settle for us this week.
We love being a part of your kids' discipleship. If you have students here, through things like youth group or preteen nights or kids' church, we are also very thankful that you, our church family, are partnering with us in the discipleship of our own kids. Mm-hmm. Our daughter, for example, she occasionally practices and sings with the music team. And if you are on that music team, you guys are teaching her how to worship God through music. And we appreciate that. One other person from the church offered each of our kids $20 each if they could memorize the list of books in the Bible. And my son, he remembers getting that $20, and he also remembers the books of the Bible now.
Yes. And several of you are our kids' teachers in kids' church. You connect with them as classroom helpers. You greet them with Jesus-y smiles every Sunday. Many of you tell us that you're praying for them and for us. And we love you. And we're so thankful to be a part of the body of Christ. Today, we're going to look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. So if you have a Bible with you, you can turn there now. And if you don't have a Bible but want one, we always have some on the back table there in the sanctuary. You can use one this morning or even keep it as a gift from the church if you would like. So would you please stand with us if you're able as we read God's word?
Again, this is Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God, we pray that you would let your word change us this morning. Bring us to a place of greater understanding and greater obedience. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can all have a seat.
So in Hebrews chapter 12, the author of the book of Hebrews encourages readers to continue following Christ in the face of hardship and persecution. In the previous chapter, chapter 11, he recalls how different people from the Old Testament, these heroes of faith, did things by faith. And now in chapter 12, he's encouraging his readers to look to their example and calls them to perseverance.
And he uses the metaphor of a race to encourage this perseverance. When I was in high school, three times a year, we had to do what was called the milk run. It was 2 kilometers, and your time determined your mark. So you wanted to do it as fast as you possibly could. My mom actually went to the same high school that I went to. And the reason it was called the milk run is because back when she was a student, once students had completed the run, they actually gave them milk to drink. That's a true story. Actually, Brent in the earlier service said that he also used to do a milk run, and the milk was always lukewarm, he said.
So
pretty awful. And I can tell you that with the exception of some of our top athletes, the milk run was the worst day of the term for a lot of us. A lot of students, they just hated gym class in general. Many others enjoyed gym but hated only running. On top of those reasons, there was a lot of anxiety and stress surrounding your placement in the milk run. You didn't want to feel the embarrassment of your peers passing you or a bunch of your peers passing you while you were doing the run. And once everybody was done the run, everyone would ask each other what their time was, and you'd get a variety of responses. Some were very encouraging, some were just mocking. And as one of the students who loved gym class so much but hated straight running, I can tell you that within a few minutes of the milk run, I would have feelings of, you know, oh man, how long is this going to last? I am already dying. Halfway through, you're thinking, I don't know, I might need to stop and walk for a bit. I don't know. And then maybe two-thirds of the way through the milk run, thinking to myself, don't stop. Don't stop. You just got to keep going. And finally, coming around that last corner with my high school in sight, I decide that this was the moment to empty the tank. Right? The run was almost over. And as we talk about families this morning, we encourage you to consider where you might be in your race as a family. Our kids, they're 9, 8, 5, and 3 years old. And there are many moments at our breakfast table with kids who are cranky and tired from a bad night's sleep. They're talking loudly. They're singing improv songs that include a lot of potty talk. Some of our kids eat so slow that we're like afraid that by the time we get them to school, it might be over. And in these moments, we do want to cry out, how long, Lord? How long? How long will you turn your face from this dining room that is too small for the six of us? I don't know if I can finish this milk run that you have given me.
Yes. And I also remember times when our kids were tiny babies and I felt like our race hadn't even started yet. I wanted to follow God. I wanted our family to follow Jesus. But all I did every day was change diapers and feed babies, and it all felt a little pointless and it didn't even feel spiritual. And then, caring for families with teenagers, we know there are families who worry that they don't have enough time left to finish their milk run. Maybe you have a child who's in their teens or older, and during the discipleship race that's marked out for you, you wonder, is there enough time for me to not fail this? Maybe you feel regret about the pace you've been running at. Our goal this morning is to encourage you, wherever you are in the milk run. God promises to help us and sustain us. And although this race is marked out for all Christians, not just those caring for children, we are going to be speaking more specifically to families this morning because we're in our family series. So as we dive into Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, we are first introduced to the milk run. We're told that we are running a race. In verse 1, when it says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us," the Hebrews writer is talking about the faith journey, our life as believers in Jesus. And the encouragement is to run the race with perseverance, with persistence, even in the face of hard things, eventually arriving at the finish line or the end of our earthly life with our faith still intact. And the prize for finishing this race is not a trophy or a medal, or, thank goodness, a carton of lukewarm milk. It is eternal life, a home with Jesus in heaven where there will be no sin and no pain and no crying. Now, if you are in a family with kids, as a parent, you have a unique task. You are running a personal race, but also bringing your kids along with you and teaching them how to run. We don't run the race for our kids. We don't arrive at the finish line and get to claim that prize for both of us. It's just one salvation per customer here. But we do get to teach our kids and guide them to a decision for Christ and encourage them to run their own race with perseverance.
However, this perseverance, this persistence we're talking about, it doesn't mean we just need to try, strive, work harder, do more. After all, during Jesus' earthly life, when the religious leaders of the time were burdening people with human expectations and human-made rules for how they should live, Jesus tells his disciples, his followers, that his yoke is easy to carry and his burden is light. Mm-hmm. He challenges, he pushes back on the way the culture tells us to live and lightens the burden that we carry so that we can live life more freely. And in today's passage, we're encouraged to stop carrying things that prevent us from running our race more freely. Verse 1, it reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." So this everything that hinders, these hindrances, they don't necessarily mean the things that are obviously sinful. These are just things that slow me down, the things that don't make sense for me to carry because they make me inefficient as I run my race. It's kind of like if I were to run a race wearing a scarf. Now, there isn't anything wrong with wearing a scarf. I'm not sinning by wearing a scarf, but it's not helping me run my race. This scarf, whether you like scarves or not, is a hindrance. And just to prove that, you know, we're not totally anti-scarf, here are a couple pictures of us wearing scarves, blurry pictures of us wearing scarves in 2010. Yeah. And you know what? Actually, when I showed Ellie the picture of me, she pointed out that I am actually on a track, wearing a perfect hindrance.
Yeah.
And if you're curious, Ellie's was from a school, a church play.
Yeah, I didn't dress like that in 2010. That's yeah. It's just a costume.
And although scarves are great, I should throw off everything that hinders me as I am running a race.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's easier to identify our own hindrances as individuals, but harder to identify things that might be affecting our family as a whole. Sometimes we forget to look at passages like this one in Hebrews from our perspective as a leader in our family. So let's talk about it. What are some of the hindrances that keep us from running our race well as a family?
And for your family, this could be a variety of things. But pointing out one hindrance that we have identified for our family, it's busyness. Sometimes it looks like too much work. Sometimes it looks like overloading our kids with extracurricular activities. Sometimes it's weeks with a lot of play dates and just saying yes to absolutely everything. And these things that I listed, they're not bad in and of themselves. Work is not bad. Sports and clubs for my kids, these are not bad things. Being with other people, this is great. This is very good. But whether I like it or not, my choices are communicating values to my children as I teach them how to run their own race. Having a packed schedule sometimes leaves us with little or no time for spiritual practices. Sometimes personally, when we have weeks with so many events, we might come home at the end of the day and not even pray with our kids before bed or say a prayer at like 2, 3, or 4x speed because we're so tired. We just want a quick bedtime so we can get the day over with. Meanwhile, I didn't rush through any of my other events that day. We've had seasons when almost every day of the week was booked. And this leaves no time or energy for reflection, prayer, reading, for myself or our kids. There's no space for fostering my kids' relationships with each other, with us, or with God. There is no time to process the events of the day with them so that we can encourage them with Christ's love and his promises. I really love the way that my friend Cademan put it. He's an Island youth pastor. And he said to me, students are so overscheduled now. They're gorging on activities and they have no time to digest. Also, when I'm always in a rush to get somewhere, I am unable to look around and consider how God might want me to respond to the world around me. In Scripture, we see so much physical movement in the life of Jesus. He is always on his way from somewhere or to somewhere, but he always stops and takes the time to engage with those who needed him. So unrestricted busyness, it can hinder us in our discipleship and distract us from those moments that God wants us to be present in. And this is very difficult in the world that we live in. People, our culture celebrates busyness. People in our world, they often wear it as a badge of honor when they have a very packed schedule. And we look at other people's lives, sometimes feel pressure to have our kids involved in everything or to have our kids be the best at things. Sometimes we feel guilt that our kids are not involved in certain things. These are all things that I personally struggle with. But as we mentioned earlier, Jesus challenges the way that the culture tells us to live, the way that culture tells us to live, and he lightens our burden so that we can live life more freely.
Some things that seem like harmless scarves are actually hindering us. preventing greater closeness or slowing down spiritual growth for us and for our families. And in that same way, sometimes things that seem only like a hindrance are actually sins that have entangled us. In verse 1, we're told to throw off not only everything that hinders, but also the sin that so easily entangles. Sin is doing things that are not aligned with God's instructions or completely rejecting them. For example, our busy schedules might not only be a hindrance, but sin. We might not just be missing out on certain things or opportunities. We may actually be neglecting God's command to rest and observe a Sabbath. It's very easy to get entangled in a rhythm of no rest. And then our kids begin to see that we value work or activities or busyness over God's commands. They see that we don't really trust God, that His way of living is better for us. We need rest, and our kids need to see what a rhythm of rest looks like. Another example of how we can become entangled in sin is by rejecting God's instructions to give and to be generous with our money. This can entangle us by developing in our hearts a worship of money. Our kids could begin to see that money is the source of our family's peace and hope, not God and His provision for us. There are a lot of ways that we can be hindered or entangled in our family, in our race. Jesus wants us to cast off all these burdens that the world wants us to take on and to instead pick up His burden, which is to follow Him and to lean on Him for help. And we want you to know that it's never too early and never too late to begin giving our unnecessary burdens to God.
Yes, you don't want this to become a hindrance for you either. Some people might be carrying shame or guilt about the way that they've run the race up to this point as a family. But Christ, He wants to alleviate that burden so that you can run your race more freely. So that's an encouragement to you if you are in that category of feeling like, I don't know if I have enough time to complete this race well.
Mm-hmm. God is able to do more than we can even imagine with the littlest thing that we give Him. We can give Him the littlest time frame that we have left, and He can do so much with that through miracles. He's awesome to help us in our race. So wherever we are in our race, how do we throw off these hindrances and the sins that so easily entangle? Well, we need to start to view our lives of faith as a race, and to filter all our decisions and behaviors through that. So maybe before adding an activity or an item or a habit to your life as a family, you could ask yourself a couple questions. For example, a first question could be, will this help, hinder, or have a neutral effect on our family as we run the race? You know, will this be good for us? Will this support us as we try to follow Jesus? Or will it distract us and slow us down or maybe even lead us into sin? It's also really important to think about our motivation behind some of our decisions. So we can also ask ourselves, why do I want this in our life? Why do I want this in my family's life? What is my inner motivation? Is it for my own vanity or pride? Is it to keep up with what my friends are doing? Am I putting my hope in this thing to do something for me or my family that God can actually do without it? These are some questions that we can ask to help ourselves identify hindrances and entanglers that might be trying to get in the way of our family's race.
Verses 2 and 3 in our passage gives us another word of encouragement. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He alone is the one who perfects our faith and our children's faith. He is the author of our family's story. For the joy set before Jesus, He endured death on the cross for us.
Yeah, Jesus endured death on a cross for our sake and for the prize set before Him of being seated at the right hand of God the Father. And now the Holy Spirit enables us to be like Jesus, to endure hard things and persevere in our race to the very end. so we can endure the embarrassment that sometimes comes from living differently than our friends and those around us. We are empowered to remove hindrances and sin, knowing that the prize set before us is way better than anything we can find on this earth. So let's consider him who endured even worse hardships so that we don't grow weary and lose heart. We are on this race with you guys. We are racing along beside you and also trying our best to persevere and throw the things off that are hindering us. We are praying for you, and we need your prayers too, really bad. So please keep praying for us. And we love to talk about this stuff. We love trying to find creative ways to better follow Jesus as a family. We do not have all the answers, and we never will, but it would bring us so much joy to chat with any of you who might want to talk further and brainstorm ideas of how you can follow Jesus as a family and in your context. God has set a race before us, and he will help us to complete it.
The music team is going to lead us in one last song, and we want to make this altar, make this front area available for you. If you want to reflect or pray or just respond to what you feel like God might be speaking to you, you can feel free to sit around here, stand, kneel, lie down, be upside down, whatever. And, you know, you maybe want to ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and reveal some of these hindrances that you might not be aware of. Maybe you have certain hindrances or entangling sin that you need God to help you, want God to help you with. Maybe you do feel shame and guilt that you're carrying about the way that you've run the race up to this point, and you just need God to speak to you and comfort you in this moment. Or maybe you just need general prayer for your family. So we're going to ask the prayer team to make themselves available. And as you're up here, we're gonna be joining you here. And somebody from the prayer team, if you respond with us, might just come up to you and offer to pray with you. But the space is yours to respond. So go ahead and you can join us up here, and I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we know that you have marked out a race for us, and we want to finish it well. We need the guidance and prodding and encouragement of your Holy Spirit so that we can run this race well. Would you search our hearts and show us what we need to throw off so that we can run this race more freely? Thank you that Jesus alleviates the burdens that we carry, that his yoke is easy and your burden is light.
Yeah, God, I pray for anybody who maybe feels like they're alone in this race with their family. Maybe they're the only parent who is trying to follow you, or maybe they are single parenting. Lord, I thank you so much that you see them, you know their situation, and you are more than able to be that additional parent for those kids. Lord, I pray that you would step in, that you would bring peace to that parent, that you would bring them comfort, and that you would give them extra special perseverance in this race. We love you, and we trust you to reveal the things that need to be dealt with, and we also trust you to deal with them and to help us throw them off. In Jesus' name, amen.